This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Curry bounced pass to Butler, who fumbled it, stole it. Harrison Barnes took it away. A turnover off the inbounds. That's the worst possible situation. Castle now off a screen gets Curry. They spread out to give Castle room to drive. 17 seconds left, 9 on the shot clock. Fades to his right, dribbles, pass in low, wide open. Keldon Johnson scores a layup, no foul call.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Wu-Tang on the YouTube chat with a super chat.
Oh, how much?
$2.
Read it.
Lakers or Warriors daddy?
Okay. Who's your daddy?
If anybody else would like to waste their money, we're here for it.
Cash me out one time.
Right.
I love you all. Love you all. All of you, truly, even the ones who are, and you know who you are, some of you are exhausting.
They're great.
You know, you're great. It's exhausting.
YouTube commenters are like children. You actually don't love them all the same. And that's one of my favorite all-time, like, isms. Oh, the blah, blah, blah is like kids. You love them all the same. No, you don't. No, you don't.
Well,
no, you don't.
I mean, love
you is... You got three, and I got three.
I know, but love's an interesting word. You do love them all the same. I don't know that I would choose to spend the same amount of time with all of them.
Maybe it's like them all the same.
I mean, like, I'm going to protect them like they're my own no matter what. I'd jump in front of a car for any of them.
Right.
But if you said, would you like to go away for a weekend, just you and that child, I'm going to have a list.
Right.
I'm going to have a list now.
Like, who do you want to spend 2 hours with this Saturday? There's a top three. There's a power ranking.
There's a ranking.
And it's, you know, for sure. So, whatever. That's how I feel about the YouTubers. There are a few that exhaust me and a few that I like more than I should. And then the other 614 of you, you're all tied for fourth.
Yeah. Yeah. We're glad you're there, though.
Love you.
Yeah. I wish we could see you the way you could see us. Like romper room. Sorry to date myself, but anyway.
That would be cool.
Yeah. 888-957-9570. Wherever your frustration is, fire it away. That's what we're here for today. That's what we're doing.
I'm mad at Steve Kerr's rotations, Mark.
I'm mad at you. So,
well,
you know, whatever.
Be. Well, it's funny because I was watching earlier today, I think it was Steiny and Goo, and I no longer comment because Steiny clapped back at me.
Yeah, I'm angry, Jeff.
Which, it's awesome. Yeah, you shouldn't do that. He wins when you do that.
Well,
be you. If you want to be in their YouTube chat, be in their YouTube chat.
I was busy today.
Okay, that's fine. But
watching,
don't go,
watching the Masters.
But don't go away just because Steiny made fun of you.
Of course not.
Don't do that.
I never would.
Okay.
But there were at least two or three who chimed in with the, Lacob needs to give Kerr the Michael Malone treatment.
Oh, God.
So just so you know, those people, they're out there after a loss. Anyway, I just wanted to make sure that got out there.
Of course they're there.
Right.
Of course
it's called
they're
the
there.
Michael Malone treatment now,
yeah.
By the way.
Well, I mean, let's fire Shanahan while we're at it.
Can we?
That would be great. I'm sick of all these coaches here in the Bay.
And Melvin was about to be on the hot seat till they rallied.
Literally, yeah.
We'll see how that flight goes today, and I'll get back to you.
It's a long one.
We got another super chat from Alan on YouTube. $2. Ask Kerr if he was at the game or watching White Lotus.
Do you know what would be great radio for 7 minutes one time? Is we should just let the chat interview Kerr. That's it.
That's dangerous.
That's why I said 7 minutes.
Why do you hate Kuminga?
7 minutes, and then we're moving on. 7 minutes.
Do you feel guilty about holding Moses down for so long?
No, you don't.
Why can't Gee get more run?
Oh, my God.
All Pat Spencer does is win. Why don't you play him more?
It's fun.
Kerr.
It's fun. Let's go to Tawny in San Rafael. What's up, Tawny? Thanks for calling. What you got? Hey, Tawny, will you call back, please? Call back. Here. Talk to her and find out what's going on. That's not us again, is it? That's her. That's not us. That better be her. That's not us. Right? We've already taken some calls today. I don't want to do
this. Sounds like when you broke up with your high school girlfriend and you said, honey, it's not you. It's me.
I don't want to do
this. Tawny, it's not you. It's us.
I don't want to do the show underwater again. I'm not comfortable underwater. A little Chewbacca action.
That's me doing Chewbacca.
No, it's like this. a little under the weather. I don't know if I can do it.
3, 2, and.
You got to go. Yeah, it's from the throat. It's not the tongue. No, it's from the throat.
I was doing it just to get you to do your Chewbacca, which is elite Chewbacca. But that's kind of how Tawny sounded.
Can we try Tawny again?
Lucas won't.
Lucas feels like he feels good about it.
Okay.
All right, Tawny.
Tawny.
Take 2, 3, 2. Hi, Tawny. What's up?
Hey, I like being called Chewbacca. That's a compliment.
Yeah.
Let's go. Tawny, you sound clear as a bell.
Okay, perfect. Well, I was just calling to say, I don't know why they lost last night. Not good. But I wanted to defend Willard in this fact that I think it might have been the Nuggets game this week. But in one of the interviews, Draymond said he could barely talk. He was like, I am exhausted. I just want to go home. I want to go to bed. So that was my point. They do bring up that they're tired. So, you know, whether that had anything to do with last night's game, I don't know. But he was exhausted. So that's all I wanted to say. Just wanted to say they do say it.
Thanks, Tawny.
Tawny, you call this show anytime you want. Thank you, Tawny.
And they didn't say it last night, Tawny, is my point. And, yeah, Draymond's been saying it now for a couple of weeks. And if you're so tired, if you're so tuckered out, then take a game off. I mean, the poor guy played 23 minutes against Phoenix and, you know, first-class flight home, and you can't even, like, gut out a game against San Antonio?
I'm going to be nice to my partner.
You can do whatever you want to your partner, but Tawny, just because he says they're tired does not mean you can't go out there and gut it out in a game against San Antonio where you're up by 14.
You 56?
And a half.
And you got a two-year-old?
Right.
Has there ever been a day in the last two-plus years of her life that you've come in here? And when I'm just like, hey, what's going on? You're like, kind of dragging today.
Maybe. But have I ever used that as an excuse? I've never gone in the press conference and said, you know what? I was a little shaky in the 4 o'clock hour today because I was tired.
We don't have a post-show press conference.
Right.
That's my point.
Nor would I.
I don't like, I honestly think that what some of us are speaking to right now are their salaries. I really do
not
believe that. I totally believe that.
I'm speaking to game 80 in a game that everyone wants to tell me is a must win.
But just because,
and we're so tired that we can't make the right play down the stretch.
No one said that. Nobody. Not them, not me, not Jim Harbaugh.
Well, Tawny just did.
Nobody.
Tawny did, and you said that's what you thought you saw.
That's an observation.
Right.
That is not
And Tawny's co-signing your observation.
And here's Draymond.
I'm exhausted. I just want to go home.
Last night?
No.
Relax. Go to sleep. I'm tired.
Okay, and yes, I have felt that way after shows, and you have felt that
Which
way after shows.
Which game was that?
That was after Friday's game. She was right. That was after Friday's game against Denver. They won, which is why it's okay to say that, because they won. You are. This is a political situation for these people. They know. They can't say that into a microphone. Twitter would destroy them. Mm. It does not mean that it's not true. And that's what I'm trying to get at. It's not an excuse. I'm not saying, oh, it's fine. The Warriors don't have to win the games they have to win because they're champions. And boy, that plane flight, there might have even been turbulence. Like, no one's doing that. But I'm allowed to have an observation.
Sure.
And that's all that it is. And I firmly believe, because we've got 700 texts in front of us that sort of have the same tone you do. But, oh, you poor babies, are they tired? If they didn't make $25 to $55 million a year, we wouldn't do that to them. Because you and I can sit here, as we always do, off air and talk about what's going on at home or what's going on in the other room, like anybody at any job does. But we don't make $55 million a year. And we don't have press conferences, and nobody actually really cares if our performance is perfect at the end of the day, and therefore nobody's there to give a rip if you or I or the FedEx driver or the construction worker or anybody else out there listening gets to the end of a day and goes, damn, I'm exhausted, and I actually don't think that I was at my optimal today. It's literally the most relatable thing I can think of at the end of a job. But we don't let the Warriors do it because oop-de-doop-de, $55 million and a free flight and a free meal and all. It's just, that's what I hear. I don't know why this is even like a touchy subject. It's the end of the year. Flipping, of course they're exhausted.
Sure.
And they looked it at the end of
can
the game
I make
last night.
An observation?
Sure.
Would it be fair for me to make an
of
observation?
Of course it is.
To me, they didn't look tired. Jimmy Butler, who played all 12 minutes of the fourth quarter, he did not look tired. He went out there and got to the foul line and was exerting his will in a way that he hadn't in previous games.
Right.
And Draymond Green, he didn't look tired earlier in the game when they had a 15-point lead, and Steph didn't look tired when he was knocking down threes. You got to the end of the game, and you made mistakes, and you blew a game. And so for me, to look at that game in Game 80, well, yeah, it's Game 80 of 82. And I understand that it's a long road, a lot of travel, a lot of basketball, but San Antonio is also playing in Game 80, and I know they're younger, but so is Moses, and so is Pods,
they're younger,
and so is the rest of your team. So my observation is that
nothing on
that
the line,
is not
Dibs,
an excuse.
Nothing well, on the line.
Are you saying with nothing on the line, that doesn't mean you're going to be tired?
Of course it's less
so
exhausting.
So Stephon Castle's not going to be tired because there's nothing on the line?
Yes, there's no...
He's playing for Rookie of the
Steph
Year.
Steph Curry...
He's out there playing for individual accolades.
Steph Curry literally said last night,
basketball.
We feel the weight of what's going on. The Spurs have had zero weight on them
right.
all
But you didn't feel
long.
the weight through three quarters
yes,
when you
did.
Were up by 15.
I thought they looked exhausted the whole
if
night.
If you would have pushed it to 20, there would have been no talk about exhaustion. But you got late in the game and you made mistakes, and now some people are talking about how you're exhausted.
I disagree with you. I thought they looked exhausted the whole night. The second quarter looked like crap. Draymond, I thought, looked very tired the whole night. My observation.
Yeah, my observation is that they weren't tired.
Great.
They just made mistakes.
Great.
So
then we
your observation, my observation.
And I think that their mistakes were because they were tired. So that's where we sort of overlap just a tiny, teensy little bit. We're sponsored by Inn at the Tides. Relaxing days, I could use one. Kind of tired. Stunning sunsets. Every day is magical in Bodega Bay. The Inn at the Tides special midweek rates start at just $1.99 per night through May 1st. Includes breakfast and a bottle of wine upon arrival. Book your stay now at innatthetides.com. 888-957-9570. Steve Kerr at 5. Willard and Dibs.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Butler turns and faces on himself. Good fake. Comes baseline. Pump fake. Lost the ball. He turned it over. He thought he got fouled. Warrior bench thought so too. Castle drives by Curry and scores low rights. Spurs take the lead. Fifth lead change of the night. 104-103. 3 minutes to go. Dub Nation, it's the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy. Catch the head coach of the Warriors, Steve Kerr, with Willard and Dibbs every week right here on 95.7 The Game.
Steve Kerr at 5. We'll keep going with your phone calls until then. Palate cleanser.
Yeah?
I'm trying to figure out who I'm rooting for tonight at 6:30. I know the conventional wisdom says you're supposed to root for Minnesota.
Right.
Right? Because then Minnesota has a loss, Memphis has a loss, and then if the Warriors win their next two games, they're in. That's a huge if. Like, the Clippers are very... Zubats, man. Zubats is a problem.
I mean, can we start with Portland?
Well, right. Yeah, of course. You have to start with Portland. Well, and I assume nothing. Yeah. Basketball is hard, and they're also young and spry and carefree, and it's on the road. And sure, of course.
The Warriors are going to be tired. They have a flight.
I thought I said palate cleanser.
I mean.
Did I not? What, do I need to super chat it for you?
You're doing fine, Mark.
$2. Palate cleanser.
I'm just trying to get through my take before I go home at 3:33 because I'm exhausted. But go ahead. I mean, I've worked four shows in a row now.
You're cynical mofo, exhausting. Man. You guys are some cynical
mofos. I mean, I'm 56. Steph Curry's 37.
No, I know. You know what? No. You guys
almost 20 years older than the chef.
Let's do it. You guys are right. I hate these people. They suck. Really, honestly, the Warriors suck.
You want to talk about tired?
These players are just flat out big, fat disappointments. All of them.
Let's get back to the palate cleanser.
Steve Kerr, Draymond Green, and Steph Curry. That's how I describe their careers. You big, fat, slow disappointments.
Now you're being disingenuous.
You're damn right I am.
Right. I'm just talking about fatigue.
Jeez.
37. Good Dude, when Lord. I was 37, I'd go all day. But you're go right, ahead, palate right, cleanser. Right.
Go all day doing what? Doing what?
At the time?
10 years ago, you couldn't even
score. Jobs.
10 years ago, you got an hour to make one bucket, and you couldn't do it.
That was 5 years ago, and
whatever.
I didn't get a whistle.
Whose fault is that? You're the ref.
Yeah. As a bookie was the ref. Thanks, Kalena.
Anyway.
Thanks.
Anyway.
Anyhow, palate cleanser.
If Minnesota wins tonight, then the Warriors control their own destiny again, right? However... Memphis has got the better shot to lose a different game the rest of the year. Like, once Minnesota's done tonight, that's a wrap on losses. They've got easy street the rest of the way after tonight, Minnesota. Okay? Home games to Brooklyn and Utah. WW for them. So, I'm trying to figure out if there's a way to even... Like, is there a way that the Warriors... go 1-1 and still end up the 6th.
Yes, but you would need Memphis to lose twice.
Which is completely possible, plausible.
And you'd have to have Minnesota lose once. Yes.
Which is what he's advocating tonight.
So you're rooting for, you're thinking maybe root for Memphis tonight. Then if the Warriors lose to the Clippers, Memphis would have to lose to Denver and Dallas.
And Dallas.
They'd have to.
Which
otherwise,
is not,
you're the 7 or the 8.
It's not likely. That's a home game against Dallas this Sunday. It's not likely, but it's more plausible than Minnesota losing one of their other games. So put it this way. I'm going to pull for Minnesota, but not with all of my might. Do you know what I mean? Like there is a difference. I mean, the best scenario is just win your next two games, and I actually still think they will be fine if they do that. But Sunday's going to be hard. Sunday's going to be real hard.
Yeah.
And I think it's most likely that the Clippers will have something to play for Sunday, no matter what happens.
Yeah, what's their scenario?
Denver wins the tiebreaker over the Clippers, so even if the Clippers are the 4 and a game up on Denver on Sunday, the Clippers will have to at least go for it.
Right.
Because if they lose and Denver wins Sunday and they finish with the same record, the Clippers will lose that tiebreaker, and there could also be some jockeying between 5 and 6, potentially. So
right.
I think, regardless of how it plays out, very likely they'll have at least something to play for.
Right, because Denver's last two games, by the way, are Memphis and Houston, both difficult games, but Houston might be resting everybody on Sunday.
Just like they did yesterday.
Yeah, just like they did yesterday. So, okay, there's still a lot of moving and shaking to go on, but I guess I'll buy that the path of least resistance for the Warriors is for Minnesota to beat Memphis tonight, Then you go win tomorrow night in Portland, and you have an opportunity to take the court on Sunday against the Clippers. And yes, things could turn your way, but at a minimum, if you win that game, you're in.
Right. If Memphis loses and you win both, you're the six. That, to me, feels like the most direct path to do it. So if Memphis loses, then you regain control of your own destiny. And I know it's not easy because the Clippers, Grandy's right, they might be playing for the three, depending on what the Lakers do, likely the four or the five, unless the Clippers happen to have a hiccup in their next game. But if Memphis loses, then last night becomes less of a disaster for you because then you, again, control your own destiny.
And Minnesota is a slight favorite tonight in Memphis. I think a 2-point favorite tonight.
And that game tips at
6:30.
Okay.
National TNT.
Exciting. Let's go.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a good one.
So with no Warriors and no Giants tonight, there's your nachos game. 6:30 tonight, Minnesota, Memphis. Enjoy. Speaking of enjoy, maybe it's because we've been barking about it so much. The Super Chat is active right now.
A lot of Super Chats.
95.7 The Game has found an alternate source of income, and it's called Super Chat. First of all, let me start with the smaller one. Alan Day threw $4.99 at this idea. Kerr has been so terrible, I started watching. I don't know why in the Super Chat you need the, like, if you're going to Super Chat, don't abbreviate it. Just write it out. You know what that is, by the way.
It's an abbreviation sensation is what it is.
I started watching W. Lotus also to see what I've been missing. And I've not watched one episode of White Lotus, but I gather that the first season's wonderful and season three is disappointing. Is that accurate?
I don't think so.
Oh.
I mean,
but isn't that what you think, Randy?
Season two is the best, in my opinion.
Okay.
Season three is the worst of the three, in my opinion.
All right. There you have it.
He's eating.
And Steiny, right. I think also, Steiny agreed. Season three, disappointing. Guru, excited about season one, hasn't gotten beyond that yet.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, right. I thought season three was good.
Okay.
It wasn't as good as one or two, but it still was watchable. And
Where is it? What app?
This one was Thailand. Oh, it's on HBO Max. Is that right?
Yeah, Max.
Well, where is it?
Is Thailand like, next to Hulu on my TV?
When you ask
season one Hawaii,
when you
season
ask
two
where
Italy.
Is it, okay. Then to me, you're asking where is it set? Because the whole idea of the
where
show,
do I find it?
The whole idea of the show is it's set in an exotic location. And I guess I shouldn't expect you to know that because you have no clue about shows.
Yeah, all I know is it's white and it's Lotus. I don't know.
Well,
like
the whole thing about the show is that it is cinematically beautiful.
Okay.
It's set in a resort. Grandy's right. The first one, Hawaii. The second one, the Amalfi Coast. And then this one is Thailand. And part of the appeal of the show is that the locations are spectacular and exotic. So when you say, where is it? Gesundheit, I do think it's fair to wonder if you're asking where the actual location is. Also from Alan Day, and there's one more super chat
Wu-Tang.
Alan Day, $1.99, players will never get tired of blowing past pods.
Okay.
And you're right, Alan.
Yeah,
that was a big part of last night.
Not a great defender.
Nope.
Yeah, that's okay, Wu-Tang, $10.
Mm.
Woo! What? Alert, major bag. Wu-Tang, all right, what would the path to the playoffs be, Willard? What's your ideal matchup for the Warriors? This one has become difficult, to be honest with you, because first off, I'm going to stand by a couple of statements. Starting with what I said yesterday, I'm actually not really concerned about any opponent. Doesn't mean that the Warriors will beat anybody. That's not what I mean by that. It means I think they've got a plenty of a shot to beat anybody. There's no opponent that I think is preventative in the Western Conference. I put the Warriors right next to all of them. But I don't want to see the Warriors play the Lakers in round one because I just think it's too much too soon. It's too early. That's the main course. I don't want to start with that. I'm not one of these weirdos that'll eat a steak and be like, then I have the salad. No, salad's got to come first. Then we do the steak and the potatoes, and then you have your ice cream afterwards. I like things in order that way with my meals. And I don't want to do Lakers and Warriors first. But you're never going to hear me say Houston is the ideal matchup because that means you got to go to the play-in tournament, and I don't want to do that. So I don't know that the three has been, it's not locked up, but the Lakers certainly took a big step toward it last night. I don't want to play the Lakers in round one, but I'd rather do that than go to the play-in tournament. Let's just say it that way.
Yeah, agreed. And I do think that what you've talked about with an older team, and obviously they're already so tuckered out that they can't close out a game against San Antonio. So if you have to play a Tuesday play-in and you lose, and then you have to play a Friday play-in just to get the eight, and then you turn around 2 days later on the road at Oklahoma City, it doesn't bode well for the Warriors. Although I did look up the history of the Warriors since Steph has been here in the playoffs when they lost game one. Seven times they've lost game one in a series, and they are 4-3 in those series. So it doesn't necessarily mean you lose. You did drop game one to the Lakers last time out. You lost. You did drop game one to Toronto in the NBA Finals, and you lost. And that was a little bit of a different vibe.
No doubt.
Because you lost two of your top four players, but it doesn't necessarily mean when you lose game one, you lose.
Right, but I also think game one losses are not all built the same. And I look, if they've got to do the play-in tournament next week, play on Friday, end up in Oklahoma City on a Sunday, I just think the series is going to get set on its ear. I do not think that is a recipe with which the Warriors can succeed. That's my opinion.
Agreed. And historically, I'm just looking at the numbers, teams that win game one of a best of seven, 78% winning the series.
And this particular one would also, the one we're talking about, the scenario that has them in Oklahoma City, we're talking about an historic team statistically.
Oh,
I just don't like, that's not, they can't do that. And that's why what I said earlier, last night does not concern me at all in the view from 10,000 feet. I don't think this is like evidence that the Warriors suck all of a sudden. I think that would be an odd thing to say after what we've watched them do over the last week and a half. What I do think is they welcomed the nightmare into the room. They haven't fallen asleep and had the nightmare yet, but they've welcomed it into the room. And so now scenarios exist where, A, you end up in the play-in tournament, and once you end up in the play-in tournament, I would put literally all my chips into next Tuesday. Because, as I said, I don't think going to Friday is a scenario that works for the Warriors. That means Tuesday, in my way of thinking, becomes a must win and almost like an elimination game, which is a terrible place to be for a basketball team, especially after everything we've talked about and watched with this particular team. They've got to either get a top six seed or navigate next Tuesday correctly. And that's super nerve-wracking.
Yeah, you look
that's
at
that's very nerve-wracking.
If you're the seven and you face Minnesota at home, that's going to be a tough game. Minnesota's
really hard.
A team that has been, you know, very difficult for you and for everybody. And if you happen to come up empty on that one, well, then you get another home game against either Dallas or Sacramento, and then you have a 2-day turnaround to get to OKC and play a team that might win 68 games. That's going to be real tough.
I mean, I'll take that over not. You know what I mean? Like,
of course,
I do think the Warriors are going to the playoffs this year, but I don't think that all playoff trips are the same. And that one feels clearly disadvantageous to the Warriors if that's the way they were to get in.
Which makes last night even more painful when you think about it. And, you know, we can debate fatigue or not fatigue. Bottom line is you had two different leads that were sizable, leads that can be stretched into an Ottoman game where you put your feet up and you put the pillow behind your head and you go night-night, but you didn't get there. And as a result, you got beat on a buzzer beater by a former teammate, Harrison Barnes, and your former teammate, Chris Paul, is over there in his warm-up outfit, barking orders and directing traffic. And so the loss was bad. The guy who beat you was bad. The cheerleader on the sideline was even worse.
I think he was actually yelling for a foul. I don't think he was barking orders.
Whatever he was doing.
Yeah, because Butler was all over Harrison Barnes prior to the ball being inbounded.
Right.
Paul was calling for a foul, which is like, dude, you're not getting that call.
You know
better than that.
And honestly, Jimmy Butler in the challenge of the three, that was a great challenge.
Yeah.
He was up.
No,
he was there.
He was in his jersey.
He didn't foul.
Nope.
He was all over it. And, I mean, tip of the cap to HB for knocking it down.
Made a great shot.
Doesn't mean I'm happy about the loss, but of anybody to do that, Harrison Barnes, okay.
Yeah, I don't
Good
mind.
For you, Harrison.
I love Harrison Barnes.
Yeah.
Hate the outcome. Christian in Fairfield. Hi, Christian. Thanks for calling Willie and Dibby.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How you doing?
We're good, man. What's up?
I don't know how you guys do it. I know you get. I'm gonna pocket watch you guys right now, like everyone else likes to do the NBA players. I know you get paid, but I don't know how you deal with these emotional Warriors fans. They were doing it on Steiny and Guru. Now they're doing it to you guys. Kerr's this. We're not. They're still a championship team. Last night was embarrassing. If it was a college team, they should have practiced after last night. It was a lack of leadership, in my opinion, at the end of the game by the Steph Curry and Draymond Green, more than fatigue. They know better than that. You know what I'm saying? But other than that, nothing changed except for the road to the championship got harder because they want to play games and play around and not come with their A game. But it's not the others' fault. You can't blame the young players for dumb trucking. Pod was sooner or later going to have a bad game. He's shooting 50%. He's not going to do that. That's the law of averages. That's basketball. He's going to have a bad game. It was bad that they all had a bad game at the same time. But that's, to me, I thought we'd be talking about playoff Jimmy because he started taking over at the end. And then when Draymond did the bonehead play, he looked at him like, come on, dude. And then Steph did it, and then that's that. So to me, it's more lack of leadership. They played down to the level of their competition instead of, you know what I'm saying, taking San Antonio more serious for 48 minutes. But it's just a bump in the road, and the Warriors are fine. And I commend you guys for dealing with this emotion today. I'm glad you got me in early.
Christian, yeah.
Thank you. Christian.
I almost hung up on Christian halfway through because there is no room in sports radio for that kind of level-headedness.
No, too sensible.
So, yeah, Christian.
You're banned.
Get the hell out of here. Don't you ever call this show again.
No, rational takes after a devastating loss. There's no place for that here. You either need to fire Kerr or you need to cut Steph Curry, bench Pods, or you know what? Why didn't Kuminga get more minutes? He looked fresh and ready.
Don't even put that in people's heads.
I just did it.
No,
888-957-9570.
I'm sorry. I'm here.
Yeah. Steve, did we lose you?
Yeah.
I mean, what else can we do?
If Quentin were
healthy, .. And you know what? The Pods, all you Pods lovers, the bubble done burst. He came crashing back to Earth like one of those asteroid meteorite things. Grandy? Yeah.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about Pods. Shooting star? Meteorite.
You mentioned Post. I do think his absence was felt like big time last night. So many people just focus on the defensive end and how bad it was, especially when Steph wasn't on the floor. But Post offensively makes that unit work, and when you are getting good looks and you're scoring on offense, your defense is in like 10 times a better situation. I honestly think Post's absence was felt big time on defense. Well, not because he plays great defense, but because of what he does on offense.
It's an interesting take. They just needed to hit a few more threes. That's really all they needed to do.
Oh, you think?
Sometimes I've said this to you before, I hate that the NBA has come to this because it makes analysis stupid. It really does. Like, how lazy and easy is it to just, well, some make or miss thing, ball didn't go in, see you tomorrow. But, like, sorry, that's the way y'all play now.
That's the way they play, for sure.
That's the way you play.
Yep.
So, like, we can do this all you want. Well, Steve Kerr, and he put the wrong people in, that moron. I don't even know why they still employ him. Like, we can do this all day long. Bad leadership, fatigue. Steve Kerr is a moron, apparently. Hall of Fame players now suck. I told you Pods was no good. JK let him out of jail. All of it. I guess in the minds of some, there's some truth to some of these things, and that's fine. But the lazy yet accurate analysis of most NBA games that involve good teams, just good teams, is that, dude, if your third, fourth, and fifth best players will just hit some threes, you're going to win. And if they don't, you're going to lose. Or you're at least vulnerable to losing. Because last night, the Warriors were actually, they were a breath away from winning anyway.
Right.
They were a breath away from winning anyway. But look, Minnesota will take the court in 3 hours. And I know that this kind of stuff flies over our heads because we're not emotional about what's going on in other cities. Minnesota, what would you say today if the Warriors did what they did 48 hours ago?
Giving up a 20-point lead.
They were up by 24 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And stopped playing basketball. Milwaukee went on a 30 4-3 run. I watched the whole thing.
Wow.
They put it on the internet in a condensed way where you could just watch all 34 points.
I love it.
In a condensed way.
I love that internet.
It was insane. It was insane. It was all over social media. I'm like, this is incredible. Minnesota just came down. I mean, all five of them were Mitch Wishnowsky. They just punted the ball on every possession. Here, you dunk it. You dunk it. You hit a three. You hit a three. Milwaukee got going downhill, and they blew it. They blew it. What would you say if the Warriors did that? But Minnesota, another 46-50 win team. That's what they did with their fourth quarter two nights ago. So,
but what did the Warriors do with their fourth quarter last night?
Yeah, they blew it.
They allowed San Antonio to score almost every possession.
A hell of a lot less of a blown lead, though, than what Minnesota did.
Right, and if they had just equally had, alarming because of the magnitude of the spot.
I guess, yeah, it's the worst loss of the year. But if DiVincenzo would have just hit 1-3, just hey, fourth best player, will you just hit one shot? How many times did Pods or Moody pull up last night where you're like, dude, give me this one. Just give me this one. I don't need another 4-for-6 night. Can you give me one? Clank. Clank every single fourth quarter shot other than Jimmy's 1-3.
They were 1-for-10.
And it was Jimmy.
As a team.
Yes.
Correct. And they were 5-of-21 from the floor.
You hit one of them, you win.
They were 13-of-18 and 7-of-10. So, yeah, not only were you bad offensively, but in the biggest of moments, you turned the ball over. And I mentioned this before, Draymond Green falling out of bounds after saving Steph's bacon, and he gives it up, and Draymond runs down. And it's just a simple pump fake, Draymond with a flyby, DPOY, not a proper closeout, and you give up an open corner three, bang, the Spurs have the lead. So it was more than just the role players not coming through, and they didn't. And I'm looking at the box, Moody 0-for-3, Pods 0-for-3, Kuminga 0-for-3. So your next three, outside of the big three, we're all 0-for-3. 0-for-9.
Zippos.
No points, no points, no points. Buddy played 5 minutes and didn't take a shot. Kevon had a couple of free throws. He made them both.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, Kevon.
Yeah.
Do you. Outside of that, the chef was 3-of-6, didn't make a three. Draymond had 2 points, clutch free throws. Jimmy Butler was your whole offense from the foul line. Right. So it was a collective failure offensively in that fourth quarter.
Brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. We'll keep going with your calls until Steve Kerr gets here in a little bit over an hour. John, you will be first up. We definitely have some spots if you want to get out your frustrations, your thoughts after last night. 888-957-9570 on Willard and Dibbs.
Bay Area, it's Brandon Pajemski. Catch my head coach, Steve Kerr, with Willard and Dibbs each and every week right here on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, we'll do that at 5, Pods. And don't worry, don't listen to the internet today, Pods. You're fine. You're playing great. Good for you, bud. Doing just fine out there.
Yeah.
Last night was a tough night.
Yeah. What happened in Cinderella at midnight to her beloved chariot?
You don't do that.
Just, can you answer the question? Do you not know?
Yeah, well, like it went away.
Pumpkin. You
know what I mean? Yeah, pumpkin.
Pumpkin.
Right. So, but
last night was midnight for Pods.
But the indication when you say that is that that's now how it's going to stay. As in, the bubble has burst. It's all over now. An 11-game run means nothing because last night he went 1-for-7, and now that's the real pot. See, that's some of the stuff that I don't like that.
Well, yeah.
I don't like
that. You don't yike it?
I don't like it. When you have 12 games and one of them's bad, and then, right, like in 2025 in the age of social media, that's the real you. That's the real you. It'd be like if I was golfing with you and you parred the front nine.
Huh?
And then you got to the 10th hole and hit a ground ball. And I'd be like, there's Dibs.
You actually saw the real me. On the second hole, I made a 57-footer for par. And then I hit a 17-hopper to shortstop.
Exactly.
And made a triple bogey.
Right. Luckily, you're consistent.
I'm me. I'm him.
You can make a putt.
Yep.
You pull your putter out too early. You can clip that if you want. But anyway, like, why is that the real Pods if what we've seen for a much longer stretch has been good? Well, he had a bad night. Moody had a bad night. The big three had a silly final 3 minutes. You know, whoever else you want to point to. Like, the Warriors had a bad performance at the wrong time. And it may come back to bite him. Not yet, but it might.
I'm just saying that the real pods is somewhere in between the 11-game stretch and last night. And I'm just kidding about Podzarella and his, you know, chariot now becoming a pumpkin. I do think that he still contributes and plays well and all the rest of it. Last night was an ill-timed night for he and Moses and Kuminga. And we can ask Steve Kerr today at 5 o'clock about Moses. What is he seeing?
I think we will.
Like, Moses is still very important, and you're winning with Moses, but what is Moses doing now that he wasn't doing before? Is it just missing shots, or is it something greater?
I mean, I bet that's what he'll say.
Right.
And again, that goes back to what we were talking about 10 minutes ago, where it's like it just ends up sounding like lazy analysis, but it doesn't make it untrue. The way the NBA is played right now, a lot of your why did that game go that way comes down to, well, the role players just didn't hit their threes that night, and they all collectively did it at the same time. And when that happens, you're vulnerable. You know what I mean? If your take today is that the Spurs are better than the Warriors, you're nut job. You're nut job. My apologies to you. If you're listening to our show, I love the living hell out of you. But if that's your take today, yep, Spurs are just better than the Warriors, what are we doing? Like, what on earth are you talking about?
They're not better than the Warriors, there but they go. Were so, last night.
Well, okay. That becomes a semantic conversation.
Yeah, and it really doesn't.
The Spurs are not better than the Warriors right. on any night.
Well, last night, they won a basketball more game. Points than the Warriors.
And that's what I like to get at. Like, there are reasons when something surprising happens in life. There are reasons. And then we can all put our observations out there as to what they were and whatnot. But the Spurs are not better than the Warriors. If the Spurs were better than the Warriors, there wouldn't be any angst or anger today. The Warriors are better than the Spurs. That's already been proven over a much longer period of time.
Well, like the Houston Rockets may be better than the Warriors, and there was some angst and anger about that game just by the nature of the way it went.
No doubt.
You can look at Houston, and you can honestly say, is Houston better than the Warriors? Maybe. They've played five times, and the Warriors won three of them. And on that night, the other night, Houston was better, and the Warriors retired, or the Warriors were this, and Houston was that, whatnot. San Antonio is not as good as Golden State, but before we go to the phones and we get into your double palate cleanser, which I'm really looking forward to, the idea about a make-or-miss league, the Warriors shot 33.3% from three last night. They were 16 of 48. 48 feels to me like a little too many threes.
Well,
we get into that with Steph Curry. That's way more than their average, but I looked at the numbers, and this year they've shot 33.3% from three or worse 32 times, and in those games, they're 12 and 20.
There you go.
So that number is kind of about the line of demarcation where, and I did this before, where they shoot less than 30%, they almost never win. When they shoot more than 40%, they almost never lose. But the in-between games, where you shoot between 30 and 40, that's the majority of the games, but 33.3, that number, when you don't shoot better than that, you lose 20 of 32.
You said 12 and 20 is their record when they do that?
Yep.
So when they're north of 1 of 3, when they hit better than 1 of 3 from 3.
Which is, I guess, the other 48 games?
Quick math, that means they're 35 and 13.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go.
Right. It's a make or miss league.
Thanks for coming to our show. There's your analysis of last night.
And there's your TED Talk about the threes. And again, if you want to look at just the fourth quarter, Moody 0 of 2, Pods 0 of 2, Kuminga 0 of 2, DeChef 0 of 3, that to me looks like 0 of 9. And I'm going to punch up Jimmy's made 3 because I don't remember it.
I do. It was off. It was in the right corner.
Oh, yeah?
The right corner. It was all met. It was beauty. It was pure. Yeah.
Yeah, unguarded. Draymond with a penetrating kick.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. That put him up 4 with 8 to go.
Not enough.
Glad you remember that.
Not enough.
No.
All right, Super Chat, $4.99 from Truth. Lacob is desperately holding on to JK because he's embarrassed that he drafted busts with the number 2 overall pick, Wiseman, and now number 7 in Kuminga. Got to trade JK or let him walk.
I appreciate that, Truth. Somebody finally keeping it real. Can I just spend 30 seconds on that super chat?
Oh, my God.
The idea that he's desperately holding on to him, well, he's going to be a restricted free agent in about 2 months,
right.
So we'll see. Trading Jonathan Kuminga can't happen until you get through the end of the league year. So he can't even trade him right now if he wanted
to. You'd have to, like, sign and trade him, basically.
Correct. Yeah. So the idea of desperately holding on to him, I don't think that Jonathan had much trade value at this deadline because he was, wait for it, injured.
Yeah, he's also not a bust. Like, right. that word doesn't belong anywhere near Jonathan Kaminsky.
No.
That's I don't know. $4.99,
well spent.
All right.
That's all. Anyway.
This is complete. Can I have 40 seconds for this? I just want to know as a dad how you'd handle this, and then we can go to the phones.
Please.
People want to.
Okay.
So
I got kids.
It's spring break, right? And we're here all afternoon, which means I got kids just on the loose, just all afternoon.
The kids are on the move.
Yeah, I just figured that they're like rough, just all over the place. I'm like every commercial break, I'm checking. Where the hell are they now?
And you got to find my phone for all three.
I know where they are. But okay. the little guy took his scooter and went off to see a friend. And then I told him, I said, if you go anywhere, if you leave where you're starting, let me know. So I get a series of texts about 10 minutes ago. And it says I went to the ice cream store with, and I'll leave his friend's name out.
Okay.
He said, with my friend. Yeah. I went to get ice cream. So that's great. And then I stopped. I didn't give you any money.
Oh,
you're 11. How did you get ice cream?
Yeah.
He goes, oh, it's okay. My buddy had money. And I'm like, oh, that's not okay. We got to figure that out. Like, you mooched. You mooched. And now we got to go. We probably got to go make that right.
There's going to be a Venmo.
Yeah, there's going to be a transaction that takes place.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Well, for me, I like it. He's enterprising. And, you know, if it's a good relationship, it'll be I get you next time. Or it doesn't have to be like, can I have ice cream? And then you don't, you know, hook little Timmy up in the future. It could be a little bit of a give and take, right?
I hope.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to handle that tonight, though.
Well, and back in the day, thrifty, you could get the scoops for 10, 15, and a quarter.
For a dime.
Right. So, yeah, you got me for 10 cents. I'm going to go ahead and get you next time there.
It's not how the ice cream shops work anymore. Dude, this is like a $7.13
for sure,
venture now.
For a single scoop.
No doubt. All right, let's go to John in Hayward. Hey, John, thank you for calling. What's up?
Hey, Willard and Dibs. I just want you to know that you two are the best from the Bay all the way down to the Tampa Bay.
Woo!
You know, you guys are just the best.
That's a long way.
I really hope that you guys can get, you know, E40 on this show, and, you know, we can fans start up a GoFundMe page if 95.7 The Game won't open their books, because you guys are like WD-40. You guys really iron out the rinks, you know, and it's a tough life, you know, working. Anyways, my point is that I really appreciate you guys' work. But as a fan, I just wanted to say that there's a very thin line between losing and winning in the association. And here's the laydown of what's the difference between winning and losing. You just cannot make boneheaded mistakes. If you guys remember, at the end of the third quarter of last night's game, there was about 29 seconds left, and they thought about going the 2-for-1, which doesn't make any sense to go for in the second half. In the first quarter, I understand. But they did not, you know, they realized there's not enough time, so they shot the ball 20 seconds into the shot clock. So that added an additional 4 seconds that gave the Spurs about 7.8 seconds to get down and cut the lead from, you know, another 2 points. That was a big monumental mistake. You know, the coaching staff has to realize that, you know, if there's 35, 40 seconds, yes, go 2-for-1. But they shot the ball way too early, and at the end of the game, the bigger mistake that was even more magnified, they had only one timeout left, and I'm surprised the coaching staff is not really addressing this, is that there's 36 seconds, it's a tie game, 107. Why did they use their last timeout? All they had to do was bring the ball up the court, and in fact, when they did come after the ATO, they turned it over. So then they have no timeouts for a boneheaded mistake to happen like that. There's a very thin line in the NFL and baseball. You can recover with a bunt hit and onside kicks, this and that. But the association, you cannot play with fire. And if Steve Kerr doesn't realize this, you know, his job might be in jeopardy. If there's a first-round exit, or God forbid there's an exit in the play-in, then he's got to go. Because, you know, this is just, there's too many boneheaded mistakes, you know, that this year that we've caused. We have the most clutch games, and it's all these faults, like we don't have a timeout or we turn the ball over. I love me, Draymond. I called you guys a few weeks ago, and I said, this guy is good in clutch on defense, but on offense, he just seems like, you know, he's playing at the YMCA. He's not. He's got to realize that these are NBA players with length and talent. They're millionaires, and he cannot be just throwing the rock around like he's playing tetherball. The ball does not come back to you. It doesn't have a string, my brother. That's all I got to say. That's the difference.
John, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Very, very kind comments off the top. I have to, I have to be honest. It went a little over my head, the clock management thing that he's talking about down the stretch. Here's my memory, and, okay, and I know you probably have it up in front of
kind
you.
Kind of looking at it, yeah.
When the Warriors have called their final timeout, and you've got a tie basketball game, and it's Warrior ball, I think 32 seconds left, not 36. Is that about right?
32.9.
Okay.
And I don't think that it was their last timeout. According to the graphic I'm looking at, they're showing that they had one more remaining.
Okay, so
I could be wrong.
A, they may have had one more remaining, and B, even if they didn't, I don't think that's, quote, a boneheaded mistake, because I would imagine the Warriors are not planning on Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler throwing the ball away on the inbound pass. And I think that's a fair assumption to make. We all made it. I know I did. I was watching the game. I didn't think to myself, boy, I wonder if Steph and Jimmy Butler are just going to not even be able to execute starting the play. Now, the thought process of 2-for-1 did go through my head. That's a little rushed. You do have the ball already at your end, so you could take a quick shot.
Yep.
Therefore, have 2-for-1. It ended up not even mattering because the Warriors couldn't even execute getting the ball in. But I don't think that has anything to do with when a timeout was called. Like, why at that moment, I don't think it's like, I'm going to play that out in my head. All the scenarios, very few of them are going to call for, my God, we need to have another timeout in our hip pocket right now.
Right. And the 2-for-1 would come if you were able to inbound it and get a quick give and go back to Steph, and he gets a clean look from three with 29 to go, make or miss league, as we know. And then, okay, he misses. Now San Antonio is going to have a 4-second differential. You can defend and think that you're going to get the ball back. And I'm looking at this to refresh myself, and Steph gets called for the turnover, but the pass is right to Jimmy Butler. And
he mishandled it.
And the Spurs were able to free the ball from Jimmy. And so now you're in a tough spot. But even at that, you go down at the other end, and that, I believe, is when they missed, and then they fouled Jimmy Butler on the rebound, right?
No, that is they went down and got the bucket, and then the Warriors are down two, and as they come down for their final possession, the Spurs foul Draymond away from the ball to send him to the free throw line.
That's right.
And Draymond hits the two free throws, and you've got a tie game with 3 seconds left to go.
Yeah.
And then HB happens.
Right. And HB fouls Draymond, and you know, we all want to talk about the whistle. And with 3.1 to go, that's one of those that probably didn't have to be called.
Well, but I think I read that as the Spurs wanted it that way. Like, they would rather, because you're only up by two. The Warriors could fire a three and win the game. I think it was almost like the old hack-a-shack. They're like, let's go get Draymond, send him to the free throw line. The worst thing that happens is we're tied, but I'm going to bet that Draymond's going to miss at least one of these. And he didn't.
Yeah.
He made them both. But then you get the ball last. That's how I read it in the moment. Doesn't mean I'm right.
You're probably right, though.
It looked strategic at
the
time.
And as I'm watching it, I mean, Harrison Barnes comes out more aggressively than you normally would with 3 seconds to go, and Draymond catches the ball behind the three-point line. And even if Draymond's able to find Steph, it's going to have to be a catch-and-shoot from 30-plus to win it. So I guess you were probably thinking about fouling Draymond anyway, right?
Yeah, probably. I don't know that, but that's how it looked to me. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, and now coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios in